we delight to know you because you are a good, good Father who deals with us so well, deals with us so gently, deals with us with a heart of compassion and a steadfast faithfulness that is entirely unrivaled. And so we rejoice, Lord, to be included in your great love and included in your company of your people. We rejoice, Father, to sense your kingdom coming in and around our lives. We worship you and we bless you and we honor you and we acknowledge you to be the Lord who forever is good and eternally is good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you grab a seat? There you are, folks. And we're in Judges tonight. As I said at the beginning, we're just tracking through the scriptures that speak of the work of the Spirit. And we've made our way into the book of Judges, and we're at Judges chapter 6. And I'm going to read just some selected verses from the chapter before we highlight one in particular. So in Judges chapter 6, and I'm beginning to read first at verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh and I'm the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it really is you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon went inside, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on the rock and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of the staff that was in his hand. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And picking up at verse 33. Now all the Midianites, Amalekites and other eastern peoples joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abiezrites to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also into Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, so that they too went up to meet them. Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there's dew only on the fleece, and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you had said." And that's what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. But this time make the fleece dry and let the ground be covered with dew." That night God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew. Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you for your word, and we invite the ministry of your Spirit to come upon us and to open the eyes of our hearts, that we might see your work and we might learn more of your purposes, of your will and your ways for us and for your people. Come, Spirit of God, and open your word to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Gideon is one of my heroes, really, mainly because I guess I identify with him a fair bit, and many of us can, in that I'm not very brave, I'm not very courageous, and I guess, like many people, I'm also tempted to focus on my many weaknesses to a greater measure than is healthy, I suppose. But also, I love the fact that Gideon triumphs in the end. Or rather, because of who Gideon isn't and who the Lord is, the Lord is vindicated. And of course, it's the Lord that really triumphs, eventually his people that triumph. So the nation is about to be besieged. And an angel appears to Gideon that commissions him to lead the people into battle. The angel comes and says, the Lord is with you. And I love Gideon's response. And this is the Gareth Higgs version, slightly paraphrasing. It's not the original Hebrew. But the angel says to Gideon, the Lord is with you. And Gideon says, well, yeah, excuse me, but if the Lord is with us, why has everything gone pear-shaped, really? Which it has. The nation was besieged and set upon, and this huge, great Midianite army were about to take over the land. The angel says to Gideon, you're a mighty warrior. You're going to save Israel. And Gideon responds, me? Have you seen who I am? Have you looked at me? I'm like the weakest, the littlest, most pathetic one left in Israel. Me? I'm the mighty warrior. And even after the Spirit of God has come upon him, which we'll look at in a moment, Gideon still needs to lay the fleece. Well, he still needs to make an offering and lay the fleece to really try and wriggle out of his commission. And just a little aside, really, which I learned this week when looking at this text. The laying down of the fleece, which, you know, we often refer to as this kind of sign of Gideon trying to find divine guidance. Actually, it was a regular practice, this, of divination in Gideon's time. So they would regularly kind of entreat the gods, small g, the false gods, particularly Baal, and say, right, okay, well, if you just do this, if you do this, then I'll know what to do. It was a practice of consulting the false deities. And I love how God, Yahweh, even condescends to work through a pagan action, really. Because he will do anything to make sure that the people of Israel are delivered. And if that means worrying about and pandering to Gideon's attempts to get out of what God's commissioned him to, he will do it. Gideon, of course, is a weak man. He's the runt of the litter. And so he doubts his usefulness to God's purposes. I can't do anything. I'm not intelligent enough. I'm not bold enough. Yet praise the Lord that God looks at him differently. God looks at him and sees potential. God sees all that Gideon could amount to. He sees all that God could achieve through Gideon. And so maybe then, at the beginning of this year, the beginning of 2017, what is it, I wonder, that God wants to do through you in the next 12 months, in the next season, in the next few weeks? Where does God want to take you? What new thing does the Spirit of God want to bring about in you? Okay? Gideon is a weak, useless, fairly pathetic person. Yet that doesn't seem to matter to God. God takes him, uses him, and achieves a great victory. And then Gideon seems to begin to obey. And this is where the Spirit of the Lord comes in. I hope you like my little picture of Gideon blowing his trumpet there. When I'm stuck for a picture, particularly from the Old Testament, the Brick Testament is ideal. Thebricktestament.com, you can get virtually the whole Bible on there in Lego now. And they're not paying me to advertise it either. So Gideon eventually begins to obey. And so he picks up his trumpet, which... As if you know anything about the Old Testament, you'll know that throughout the ages, often the trumpet was used to summon people for battle. They played the trumpet, that was the sign the battle had begun, and the troops would be summoned. And as Gideon picks up his trumpet, whether it looks like that, or whether it looks like something else, we don't know, more of a bugle type, doesn't really matter. As he picks it up and gets ready to play, so the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, says the text, and something changes. This weak, useless, fairly pathetic, fearful man, suddenly, as he falteringly begins to obey, probably with a bit of a sulk on, I imagine, given what else happens in this text. All right, if I have to, I suppose, right, I don't really want to do this, God, but I'll blow the trumpet then. And suddenly the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. The people are summoned, and the nation rallies. You see, the people see in Gideon something that he doesn't see in himself. They see in him authority. They see in him leadership. They see in him power, courage, boldness, faith. It's a transformation. And we read, as God whittles down the army in the next chapter, that Gideon comes to break into a great victory. Now, in the Old Testament, we have seen, over the course of these evenings, the Spirit of the Lord coming on specific people for specific actions at specific times. And the thing to remember is that God, in his sovereign will, anoints whoever he chooses in his wisdom to accomplish his purposes. And so it seems, remember, Gideon is a man doubting the Lord. He's not a man full of faith. It seems that a person's personal spirituality or kind of level of faith and conduct or the nature of their character at that point in time actually doesn't seem to be that much of a determining factor, certainly in the Old Testament, as to whether God chooses to anoint them for use or not. Now, in the Old Testament, we're talking more about the Spirit commissioning people rather than filling them, because we're post-New Testament people. We know the Spirit is poured out upon all flesh and poured out within us. The Old Testament is more akin to a commissioning, a sending. But still, God seems to choose whom he will. And sometimes they're strange choices. Think of Balaam. In the book of Numbers, foreign prophet. Or foreign sorcerer, really. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon him and he prophesies. Gideon, not a man full of faith. Not a man who's God-fearing. Samson, a man who doesn't completely walk with the Lord. King Saul, others too. And it reminds us of two kind of key things. Firstly, it reminds us that we can never, ever reduce the activity of the Spirit to that of a formula. You know, if we do this, 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 then God will have to do that. Like, you know, kind of like a spreadsheet. We put in our prayers, we add a certain level of faith, and equals result. Okay? And this passage, it challenged me, this text, when I was reading this. You know, Gideon's not walking with the Lord, yet the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. And I was like, no, that isn't right. God only fills people and uses people who are walking with him. Well, actually, the text says something different. It's rather annoying. Stretching my theology a bit. How dare God do that when I know the Bible and I know what it means? How dare he? But the point is that any time we think we've got boxed, any time we think we have got God boxed, anytime we think we've got God sussed, be careful, because we're usually then about to be surprised. and that isn't always comfortable. And so the Spirit of God is continually doing a new thing, continually breaking the mold, continually surprising us. And he surprises us here by anointing somebody, commissioning somebody who doesn't really match up to our ideal of a great faith-filled leader. And so I wonder, where else are we tempted to reduce the activity of the Spirit to a formula? Where else are we in danger of limiting the sovereign power and will of God? Jesus said, didn't he, the Spirit blows as and when and as and where it wills. We cannot try to tame him, even if we tried. And then we're also, what does this tell us? It tells us that actually, back where we started, God isn't wanting perfect people. He's not wanting people to become great and godly Christians before he will do anything with us. And thank the Lord for that, because I certainly wouldn't qualify for anything then. God's just looking for open and available and willing people. And the glory of the whole story of Gideon is that the army he leads gets whittled down and whittled down and whittled down so there's only 300 left fighting an army of thousands. And those 300 people triumph over those thousands. And everyone knows that it wasn't because of the skill and might of that army. It was the work of the sovereign God. God gets glory and honor. As Gideon sounds the trumpet, the nation rallies. As the Spirit of the Lord comes on Gideon, the people recognize in him godly authority. And they realize that the time is now. No more wondering about if and when we're going to do anything. The time is now. And I wonder, for us as a church, or for you as individuals, it might just be that here we are at the beginning of a brand new year, and just kind of over your life at the minute, God is kind of picking up the trumpet, and it's metaphorically, kind of symbolically, being played over your life. And it could just be that God is saying, now is the time. Not next year, not the year after. Now is the time. Now is the time to accomplish all that I have put in you. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be strong. You don't have to be confident. You don't have to stop. You don't have to have everything sorted out. You just need to be open and available and willing, if that, it seems. The Spirit of God is saying, who is ready? Who can I rally? Who is willing to accomplish my purposes so that I continue to get glory and honor even in this day as he did in Gideon's? The Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, verse 34. He blew a trumpet, summoning the Abizarites to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also into Asher, Nebulun, and Naphtali, so that they too went up to meet them. The Spirit of the Lord comes on Gideon. The trumpet is sounded. The nation rallies. The Lord gets the glory. Amen.